ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Spectacular Show! It's me, actor, director, and casting director, Samantha Jane Tilton! And the kiss-ass douchebag from everyone's office, John O'Connor!
Thank you! Thank you! Welcome to the show! Too kind! Too kind! Welcome to a spectacular show, everybody! Big news. 15 of America's favorite restaurant chains were recently given an F rating for their lack of action towards reducing the use of beef raised with antibiotics. Included on the list, among others, were Pizza Hut, Olive Garden, Burger King, Sonic, Jack in the Box, and DQ. DQ, shocked by this news, said, "We had no idea that we were one of America's favorite restaurant chains." Good news for us.
Give me a blizzard. Give me a blizzard.
In California over the weekend, the Kern County Sheriff's Office used a tip to discover and destroy roughly 10 million marijuana plants which were posing as hemp. The police said the pot would be worth roughly $1 billion on the black market, which seems like a giant waste since you can already legally buy weed in California.
Hey, Chief, should we seize this and sell it to raise some tax money?
Look, in my town, the only legal weed is legal weed.
How should we get rid of it?
I don't know. Burn it.
And in Arizona this week, the one-ton wizard rock that had somehow gone missing from a national forest has been returned to where it was stolen from nearly 1 month ago. National Forest employees were thrilled to have the rock back, and I am horribly disappointed to find out the headline was about a rock and not a niche genre of music.
You shall not rock!
And speaking of rock, and we have a great show for you here tonight. Samantha Jane Tilton is here. And straight from kissing major ass at the office, Steve is here, everybody. Yeah, he does suck. Now, folks, as I juggle these chainsaws all the way over to the desk, please listen to our friend Synthbot and rate, like, and subscribe to this podcast. Synthbot, ooh, let him have it.
Calling all ants, calling all ants, your queen needs you. Enlist now and do your part to help protect the colony. be the best ant you can be. Tired of being weak in all six of your knees? Hate the idea of working on a farm or being a carpenter? Well, don't resist. Enlist. Join the Ant Army. Become an army ant. A colony needs you. Your queen needs you. Plus, sometimes you'll get to hang out with other army ants when they find something delicious, like a wet lollipop or maybe something dead. You'll love it. Join the Ant Army now and become an army ant.
My first guest is an actor, director, and casting director in New York City. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Samantha Jane Tilton. Samantha, thank you so much for being here on Spectacular Show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's awesome.
Glad we could finally connect.
Finally.
And have the chance to sit down and discuss.
Because we never do. This is great.
Hardly ever.
I'll take any time, man.
Well, you're an actor. You're a director. You're a casting director here in New York City.
Yes, it's true.
Of the three things, do you have a favorite?
Actor.
Okay. Well, why is that? What is it about acting that to you is your favorite thing?
Being an actor is something that is, there is absolutely no thought about what it is to me. It's something that I just always knew it was what I was meant to do from the time I was very, very little. And especially when I was little, before I was an adult and got in my own way and get in my own head, I just did it so freely. And it's through acting that I discovered I am a director, and, you know, through working in casting now that I realized I do a lot of other things in this industry, but it all stemmed from being an actor. And the love of that allows me to connect with other creatives and actors and direct them because of the love of the craft of acting. It's long-winded, but I love acting.
So you said you did this when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the beginning? Do you remember, was there something that inspired you, or is it something that you did and then kind of discovered acting after and realized, oh, I already do that?
You know what? It's interesting. I still wonder to this day. When I was a kid, my dad used to own a video store. He owned one of the first video stores in Long Island where I grew up. I think it was the second one. This is way before Blockbuster, so I'm dating myself. But we had one of the first video stores. And so I grew up around movies. My house was filled with these posters and like the real lobby cards from the Star Wars and, you know, like from those movies when they came out. And we went to Disney World at least every 3 years from the time I was an infant. So just movies and voices, and it's just been a part of me.
Was that what inspired you? Did you see specific films or actors that maybe drew it out of you?
You know, I loved doing it always. I can remember when I was younger, I remember sitting down and watching 9 Months, which is, it's with Julianne Moore and Hugh Grant. And I just remember, this is not maybe, or maybe it isn't, this is something that inspired me, but sitting there, and I was young, and I turned to my mom and I said, she's so good. Like, I knew even as a little kid that she was an amazing actress. And I just can remember that. I can appreciate it even then. So, yeah, and Hugh Grant, I've always appreciated it. Yeah, he's just unreal. But I guess I grew up, I was always in plays. I always wanted to do everything. I was the first girl Santa Claus in elementary school that did it for all, like, the chorus concerts and stuff. I was the first girl Santa, and I, like, owned it. I was like, I'm going to be Santa. And I grew up Jewish, so I was just, like, really going to own it.
So tell me, did you fight for this position?
Oh, yeah. I was like, no. I am Santa. Santa is me. And I brought it. It's really funny. In my sixth grade yearbook, it's so funny because all the mothers, you write underneath your picture, they write, what do you want to be when you get older? And for me, it was everybody else's was like fireman, lawyer, doctor, and mine was talk show host. And all the mothers were like, she's so cute. And I didn't get it. I could not understand why they were like, oh, you're so cute. I'm like, why is that cute? I'm gonna be a talk show host. Yeah. Like it was just normal for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you decided to become an actor because of Julianne Moore and Santa.
That sums it up, yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't, you know, I don't know what it was. My dad's love for film and his knowledge of it and just being around it, but I always loved performing. I just always loved that. It was simple for me as a kid. And it became not simple for me as I got older. There were years where I stopped doing it. But when I was little, it's still in elementary school, there was a girl that I went to school with, and she played Bianca on All My Children. And we used to have sleepovers, and, you know, she was a friend of mine. And my mom, her mom gave my mom the agent's information to pass my picture and stuff along, probably because I, like, begged her to, you know? And my mom was like, oh, okay, sure, sure. And then I followed up with her, like with correspondence. I was like, Mom, like, did you do it? And she was like, no. And she said she wouldn't do it because she wanted me to have a normal childhood.
Sure.
And I hated her. I hated her so much. But now I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
I am. My mom was an immigrant and stuff. And her parents were Holocaust survivors. She grew up with a lot of chaos. She just wanted us to be normal. Not that we were, or not that I am, but she wanted something close to that for us. And she tried to give it to us, so she didn't want me to do that.
I can understand that. I mean, a lot of child actors, they get older and then they have these horror stories about how difficult it was being a child actor.
Well, I think it's hard enough. It's hard enough for me at this age and for my whole life to get kind of a sense of self, right? I feel like that's one of the hardest things for us as humans. And then you put this little kid into this industry where there's all these demands and expectations and ideas of who they are and telling them who to be, and you're in the spotlight. I feel like, how could you possibly get out of that alive? You know, it's like it's hard enough to have a sense of self, but then you have this like big world around you shoving you in all these different directions. I don't know. It's got to be really hard for a child.
I can imagine. It's got to be tough for a kid. Like you were saying, as an adult, it's hard enough.
Yeah. When I do work in casting and I audition children for things, I was just working on this Disney thing and I had so many kids, all different ages, coming in and auditioning for this. And I don't let parents come in. That's one thing. I don't let them come into the auditions because you can just see, even in the waiting room sometimes, the influence. They're like, do this. Make sure you do this. Make sure. Not all parents are like that, but kids come in and sometimes they come in and it's like, why are they doing this? They are so unhappy. I've had kids literally, when they're in my room, go, I don't want to. And so then I hate, I'm like, okay, that's no problem. You know, I'm not going to force them to do it. And then the ones that want to do it or are just shy, I just try and make it as fun for them as possible. Whether they're going to book it, whether it's not a good audition, I just want them to have fun because they're kids. That's what it should be.
So as an actor, we heard about you, you discussed kind of your inspirations as a kid. You were kind of drawn to it naturally. Mm-hmm. You played Santa Claus, right? But now...
And Sandy in Grease. I should remember that.
But as an adult, now that you're pursuing it professionally, tell me a little bit about that, about your passions, about your inspirations, about your challenges. What do you think about those things?
So I think I kind of feel like it's important to talk about this because I didn't pursue acting until way after I graduated college. And so I stopped acting from the time, probably sixth grade, until after college, after everything, because life happened. And I kind of, you know, like real life happened. And I didn't, I kind of lost that in me. And so I started to pursue it when I finally kind of got life together and stuff. And I found my first acting coach. And that's when I started to pursue it. And that's exactly when I started to study. And I told you, like, it was my first or second audition where I met that friend. I kept studying, but I wasn't fully pursuing it because casting happened. And casting became the centerpiece of my whole world. It's so intense that there was no time to audition or do anything. It's only been in this past, and I've acted over these years, but it's only been in the past year that I went, I love casting and I love that, but acting has to come first. And so now whenever I book a casting job, I always say, as long as it's okay, that if an audition pops up, that I am able to go. And I'm just, there's people that I've met that are older than me or younger than me, and they feel like because they haven't done it, they can't do it. And I'm just grateful I'm doing it. And when because there's never too late. I met a guy on a plane and he used to act, and he actually, you know what a fan I am of Frasier, and he used to like act with David Hyde Pierce. And now he's like, oh, I'm too old. And I'm like, do it. Why would you not? He's retired. I'm like, do it. That's, you know, and he like was so kind of inspired. And I feel like I wanted to check back in with him. I met him on a plane, but I wanted to, actually, that was a plane. Kelsey Grammer was actually on that plane. That was my plane from LA. But anyway, and it's never too late. And I always think I should be further along because there are people that are a lot younger than me that are actively doing it. And, you know, but that just wasn't my path.
Comparison is a thief of joy.
It is. It really is. And it really, it's all BS. It doesn't matter when you do it. And I listened to somebody speak. Oh, it was Felicity Huffman, actually, a few years back. I watched her give a speech, and she said, walk away. If you can, walk away. And after a long pause, she said, but if you can't, then start figuring it out. Create your own stuff. And like my acting coach said the same thing. If you could be reasonably happy doing anything else, quit acting immediately, because it's not easy. It is really not easy. But I just always feel like if I don't do it, when I thought about not doing it, it feels like I'm spitting in the face of the universe. It feels like I am supposed to act. That is what I'm supposed to contribute to this world. And it's kind of not up to me. And when I do have those moments where I go into an audition and I know it was so truthful and I nailed it, and I that doesn't mean book it. Nailed, that's a whole other piece of casting and everything. But that doesn't mean book it. But I just know that I did a good job because it was truthful and it was just right on. No better feeling in the whole goddamn world. When I've done character work and I felt like I was that person, it's the most unbelievable feeling. Paid, unpaid, I don't care. Those moments are like, that is who I am and this is who I'm supposed to be. And I just got to keep going after that. So that's why acting's number one.
So tell me more about being a casting director. How did you get into it? Is it good to see another side of the business? Mm. You were talking about working with kids.
Yeah.
What's it like to work with adults? Just tell me a little bit more about it.
Yeah. So with casting, and that, I just said something, and I said, I just want them to have fun. You know, they're kids. And it's funny because I told you for years I didn't act, and I'm sure I'll get into that, but it should be fun. My acting coach would always say, you started doing this for a reason. You used to be able to have, just play and use your imagination and have fun. And it gets so complicated as we get older. And it shouldn't be. It should be able to be something that we have fun. And so casting wise, there's some days are crazier than others. And you asked me how I got into it. Maybe I should tell you that. So actually it was totally by accident. I was on, I think it was my first or second audition, and I had to wear a bikini, which is just so, maybe some people it's not uncomfortable for me it was, like just standing there in a bikini and heels at an audition and having to like talk as if that was normal to just talk that way in a studio with echoes, you know, so not normal. So, and I walk out of that audition and I run into an old friend who I hadn't seen in years, and she said, Sammy? And I was like, oh my God. And she's like, hey, and we started talking a few minutes and she said, would you want a job in casting? And at that time, I was bartending, nannying, doing like every odd job. That's what I always did. And I was like, yeah. And then I started working for a casting company that is like one of those online ones. And I just worked in the office. And occasionally they would send me out as what they called a lobby assistant, which is pretty much an assistant who sits out there and signs people in and just gives them the sides or, you know, the copy before they go in for an audition. That was rare. That was like once in a while. Otherwise, I worked in the office. And then that one office that I used to work at, I don't know if I should say specific offices or anything. Probably not. So I was just, but they were lovely. And they would call me, even though I wasn't working for that online casting company anymore. They would call me maybe twice a year or something. And I would work for them. And then they passed me along and that was, it was just assisting. It was like running errands and, you know, whatever, whatever. And then I ran into that old friend again years later, and she said, come into the office. I want to train you on this new, you know, the camera stuff and the way that the system works, so that way I can send you out on camera operator, cam op things. And I was like, oh, great. She like just wanted to do right by me. It was cool. And we did this little training session. The next day I get a call from one of the big studios in New York, casting studios. And they're like, hey, can you run cam op, you know, whatever, tomorrow, whenever it was. And I was like, I had never run a camera before. I had no idea what I was doing. But I was like, if you can kind of show me a couple of things, sure, yeah. And that was my first time running camera. Long story short, the client was very pleased, and he said they were so happy with what you did. He said, you're my go-to person. And then he started passing my name along. And then I'd be at these studios and working for the studios, and then different casting agencies that were, you know, renting space out of there, running casting sessions. I'd meet them. I'd see them all the time. And then they were like, you can run session, can't you? And I was like, if you help and show me, you know. And then, but I was in the room all the time to run sessions. So it just was a learning process. Started running sessions, and then it just grew from there. And then I started being trusted to just direct the sessions all by myself. And, you know, and from there, I realized, a good friend of mine who's also a casting director, he'd be in the rooms with me, and he's like, Sammy, you're a director. You're a director. And I was like, no, I'm just a casting director. And then he told me about his theater company, and I started writing and directing plays through that theater company, and I was like, I am a director.
And okay. I loved it. So tell me a little bit about that. So now you, through acting, you find casting director. Through casting director, you find a path to directing.
Yeah.
So through your friend's theater company,
yeah.
What was it that you were able to direct?
So I took on a lot that first season. I wrote my own play. And they're short plays. So they were like 12 to 15 minutes or something like that. And it was a short play, but I started writing years back when I was in acting class, and I started writing, just characters would come to me, and I would just write pretty much monologues or short scenes. And I loved that, but it was like bursts of character or bursts of energy. And it was so clear, but I never fully wrote a piece. And so joining this theater company and choosing to actually write my own piece was something I'd never done, because I had to plug it in to the format of writing a script. And also I'd practiced, you know, writing scripts, not for theater, you know, for film, and just the format. So even theater is different, but it was just so different to write something front to back, to get feedback and to edit and edit and edit, and something even that short, how much work goes into it. And then I took on, so I wrote my own, and actually, no, I didn't direct my own, because the director of the theater company, it was really nice. She loved it, and it rang really true for her, and she wanted to direct it, which was such a compliment and an honor. And so I said, of course, and I just kind of let go. It wasn't mine anymore. You know, it's kind of like I didn't want to be, you know, what's the word? Like micromanaging how my play would be. And it was done, and she directed it, and it's very different from how I envisioned it. But that's the beauty of a script, is that it's interpreted different ways. And so she did it her way. And I was totally okay with that. And I directed other plays that I got to do, and I loved it. I loved it.
So you're also a writer.
Yeah.
Was it hard for you to let go of the play you wrote and let someone else do it? I know you said she was the head of the studio or yeah, whatever it might have been.
Yeah, she was one of the two directors of the theater company.
Was it hard for you to let someone else take your work and do it in their own, the way they perceived it?
No. Which is so interesting, because I can get really passionate about things, but I believe in collaboration, and I'm very much, I've worked with other actors or other creatives that are like, you should do it like this, or we have to do it like this, and teach his own, but that doesn't work for me. That always shuts me down in my creative process when somebody tells me it has to be a certain way. I like being open to different interpretations and kind of finding middle ground with one another. But this, the fact that it hit home for her it was kind of beautiful to let go of it because it was no longer mine. It moved somebody and it became their story to tell, which I kind of never said it in that way, but that was kind of how that went, and it was cool.
And in terms of writing, so you've written some plays, one play, more than one play?
I wrote that one. I've started writing others. I haven't finished writing others. I've heard that's the hardest thing as a writer, and for me it is, because when I do write, it's like whoosh, like it just pours out of me. Mm-hmm. It's getting my ass to sit down and write. As soon as I do, a lot comes out. It's just getting my ass to do it.
Right, and you're doing a multitude of things already.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's hard to carve out time to make that happen.
Yeah, trying to make it happen.
So just to jump back to being a casting director for a minute, you said that that experience helped you with directing when you went to do plays. Mm-hmm. In terms of being a casting director, though, you work with people of all ages.
Yes.
All different types.
Yep. Elderly, little kid, everything.
Do you find that it's easier to work with one group and not the other? Do you find it more enjoyable to work with one group and not the other?
No. I love working with older generations because I feel like it's my part. It's like I'm doing a service. And so when it's kids, my service is A, to get a good audition from them as much as possible. So to direct them. And that for me, it comes so much with being in tune with other people. And so my directing is really instinctual. And it usually, and that works. And it's worked for, you know, people that I've directed. So with kids, it's my job is to make them have fun. Try and get them to enjoy it while getting what, you know, the client needs or the project needs. And the same thing with older people. A lot of times there's people that can't hear very well. It's a little bit more confusing for them to take direction. I love being able to speak loud and clear to help them, because it doesn't mean that they're not talented. It means that they have their own stuff to work through. I love being able to help people get there.
Okay. And as a, I'm going to look for your input here. Mm-hmm. On all three facets. As a casting director, what advice do you have for people that are auditioning? Mm. Or what advice do you have to anybody that is maybe interested in being a casting director?
That's two very good questions, actually. The second one's interesting. So is the first. But so I would say for people auditioning, so I've learned so much. Being an actor, seeing this side of the business, there's so much I could say about it because I've learned so much, and I like to tell my fellow actors that stuff. But the biggest thing I would say is listen. Not all casting directors are giving and warm. I get that. I've walked into rooms where it's not a lovely experience. But I have people walk into my room. I give them the explanation of what we're going to be doing, and they have an idea already in their head, which is great. They read the sides, they read the copy, whatever it is, and they have an idea of what this character is going to do or how it's supposed to look. Great, we need instincts. Our, you know, as actors, our talent isn't our choices. But if I'm telling you that the director, I already know the director does not want this part to come up, you know, to come across comedic. I'm making an example, obviously, but this is so many times. Do not say it like this. Do not be comedic about this. They do not want that, but they have this clever idea that they have already thought of. And I go, you got me? You know, we're good. You get this? And they're like, yep, totally. All right, action. Immediately, they do exactly what we just said not to do. And I cut and I'm like, you said you had me. You got this, you know? And it's, that can be very frustrating as a casting director. But that's the biggest thing. And I think that that's what makes a good actor too, is being willing to take direction and able to, when you go into a room and in your audition and then they want to see something else, to be able to roll with that. That is, I've seen people book things that they weren't necessarily right for, or they didn't nail that audition, but they were able to take direction. So they knew that they'd be able to get there. And that's huge. So when I'm telling somebody the exact direction and they don't listen, I'm not there to tell you, I'm not trying to rob you of your creativity. My job is to try and get you to do well to get the job. That's what a casting director is supposed to do. Whether they're nice or not is a whole other thing, whether the way that they go about it. But their job is to get you to do a good audition. So they have good stuff to show the client, you know? And so listen. Be open to listening. That is a huge one. And it's not all about you. I always say, like, and I learned this, as an actor, we should walk into those rooms to audition not thinking so much. For me, it helps me to think this way. To walk in not thinking, what can I get out of this? Can I get this part? But what can I bring to it? What can I give here that will make this better? That will, you know what I mean? And to be of service to the audition, to the project, and not have it be, what can I get out of this? That's a byproduct if I book something. But yeah, being an actor is to be of service, to breathe life into things.
And what about as a casting director? Anybody that would be interested in that?
I would say, you know, I had no reference. I never wanted to be a casting director. So it was never something dreamy or interesting to me. My dream was always to be an actor. So I fell into casting. I've learned a lot. I've heard people go, oh, it would be awesome to be a casting director. It is a very tough business. It is very, the demands in the casting realm are, it is fast paced. It is intense. It is hard work. It is nonstop. And it's not necessarily glamorous. Like you get to work with your favorite, this and that. It's a lot of phone calls back and forth. Did they, didn't they? Well, we need this. We need this. Are they willing to do this? It's a lot of just stressful, and it's a stressful environment. Many times you work at a casting, if you're working on the agent side or whatever, it is a stressful, stressful business. Long hours, exhausting. There's a lot of days where I get there early, go to get like a bottle of water. Before I can even get the bottle of water, I'm already being given a spiel about some stuff. Then we're like, it starts behind. It is now, and let's say I'm starting at like 9, no exaggeration, I'm there. It's 4 o'clock before I eat a morsel of food, and I hadn't had breakfast or anything. And people wonder why casting directors are cranky, because they're hungry. They've said the same thing. Your throat hurts. It's so crazy. But one thing that's very easy to take that out on actors, especially when they don't listen, because it's frustrating. But that's one, I won't be that person. So in my casting room, if I haven't eaten and I'm getting frustrated, I've learned to take a beat, you know, and say, if I'm really, like, really frustrated, I say to my actors, like, guys, I'm going to give a group explanation right now. Like, I'm not yelling at you. I'm just starving. So hang with me for a minute. Just promise you'll listen. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, shoot. Not yelling at you. I'm just really hungry. Like, I'm really honest with my actors. Because I don't ever want them to think I'm being, you know, I never... And I love that when my actors that I know kind of well from coming to audition for me, when they see that I'm the one in the room, they're like, oh, I love when I see you there. I love coming to audition for you. It's always so much fun. And that's freaking awesome to me. But yeah, so sorry to you know, flash forward to that. Casting is a tough business. It's not glitz and glamour. Maybe for some people, maybe in some aspects, when you get to work on amazing projects, it's really interesting, but it's a lot of work. It's an intense business, but I love it. I'm great. It's nice to be able to talk about it. So thanks for having me.
Well, Samantha, thank you so much for being here. Where can people find you if they want to find you on social media, online?
So it's always my full name, Samantha Jane Tilton. Plug that in, you'll find me.
Samantha Jane Tilton, everybody. Take a break. We'll be right back.
And now it's time for the spectacular show shout out. Shout out the dudes who piss on the seat. Amen, you schmuck. Shout out the people driving 50 in the left lane.
No, take your time. I ain't got nowhere to go. Go ahead.
Shout out to people who wait until you're at the crescendo of a story to come up and interrupt without acknowledging it.
No, go ahead. I wasn't saying anything. Nothing. Nah, I got no story. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Shout out to people who take their sweetest time when you're driving or walking behind them, even though they can see you're hoofing it. You saw me coming. You couldn't have waited one extra second. Shout out to people who play their music without headphones on the subway. Hey, no, I love this song and every song on every phone. Shout out to all the people next to those people playing Bejeweled. Shout out to the music people who hear Bejeweled and then they turn their music up so that they can be sure you can hear their music over Bejeweled. Shout out to people who chew with their mouths open so that every single bite sounds like an apatosaurus eating kale salad made out of lemon wedges.
What are you, a cartoon?
Shout out to people who do nothing to control their kids in public. Yeah, let them go. Do whatever they want. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Let them kick the officer. Let them. Shout out to those kids when they grow up and become criminals, right? And shout out to people specifically in public bathrooms who, despite having every single stall or urinal available at their disposal, they scooch in and plop down right next to you and interrupt this tranquil moment you were having, and they unleash a shit that sounds like the Battle of Helm's Deep. Shout out to you. And shout out to you, the listener, for tuning in to Spectacular Show. Shout out to you. My next guest is a kiss-ass douchebag who works at everybody's office. Please welcome Steve! Spectacular Show.
Thanks, Dad. So glad we finally had a chance to have a dialogue and touch base.
Why can't you just talk like a person?
Well, drilling down is just one of the deliverables that I bring to the table, okay? Are we on the same page?
We're not on the same page because we aren't reading the same book.
Well, John, maybe if you empower yourself and be proactive, you'll have your ducks in a row and we'll be able to grab some of that low-hanging fruit in this interview. Pick my brain about how to champion some best practices and spearhead some big wins. Let's brainstorm. Do a deep dive, as long as you have the bandwidth, because I don't really feel any sense of urgency.
Just speak to me like you would someone on the street, let's pretend.
Well, how about we parking lot that? Maybe we could partner on this, John. No need to reinvent the wheel or go into the weeds. Maybe if we run out of time, we could take this offline and review some of our key takeaways, soup to nuts, circle back, and revisit so we can close the loop.
Steve, on behalf of every single person that has ever worked in an office, we all hate you and talk about what a whore you are when we drink at the bar.
Well, I figured in my position, some hatred would be baked in. At the end of the day, it is what it is. What would you like to do going forward?
Going forward, you will never be allowed on this program again. If it weren't illegal, I would let the audience utilize the functionality of stones and throw them until blood seeped out of that stupid outfit you bought at the outlet mall. I would tell them to do that ASAP, but to your point, at the end of the day, it is what it is. Bag from your office, everybody. Take a break. We'll be right back. This week's Spectacular Show cheat code is Spectacular Joker. Please go on Instagram, tag Spectacular Show Pod, that's Spectacular Show P-O-D, and hashtag Spectacular Joker, and you could win a Spectacular Show prize pack. That is our show for tonight. I'd like to thank my guests, Samantha Jane Tilton. And Steve, the kiss-ass douchebag from your office. Go fuck yourself, Steve. Everyone hates you. Come back on Thursday for my discussion with Samantha Jane Tilton about the Joaquin Phoenix, Todd Phillips film, Joker. Really excited to talk about that. Until then, everybody, we love you. We miss you. We really want to kiss you. Waities and Bentles and ploys and furls. We'll see you next time. Bye, 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 bye.
Promotional consideration paid for by Blue Raspberry. Sure, it looks like antifreeze, but wait, is it antifreeze? I've never tasted antifreeze before. Well, now I have something to do today.